Can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus. I trust in you.
Well, we've been talking about taking no prisoners, discipleship through losing our life, through the crucified life, through bearing our cross. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 21, Scripture says, from that time began Jesus to show unto his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and the third day be raised up. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall never be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art a stumbling block unto me. Thou mindest not the things of God, but the things of men. You know, there are many people who would try to talk us out of the crucified life. For Jesus, it was a physical cross. For us, it's a spiritual cross of dying to self, denying self, following Jesus. But many would talk us out of it. Many religious folks, many religious leaders would talk us out of it. And, talking about the abundant life, they proclaim anything but the abundant life. They proclaim basically many times just living in the flesh, pleasing yourself. And we're not here to serve ourselves. We're here to serve the Lord. Verse 24 goes on to say, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That sounds like a condition to me. Many people want to throw out their unconditional doctrine, but it's no good. The Lord Jesus many times laid down conditions, and one of them is we must bear our cross. If there's no cross, there's no crown. I know it's obvious that we're all on that path somewhere, and as long as we're walking by faith, we're accounted righteous until righteousness is manifested, until our cross does its work, and the old man is dead, and the new man lives in the image of Jesus Christ. This is his plan. It's all by grace. It's all by his works that he accomplished at the cross. He goes on to say, For whosoever would save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. And, of course, the word life here is the word psuche. It could be translated soul just as easy, because that's what it means, the soul. If you want to save your soul, you have to lose it. And what he's talking about is the unregenerate soul, the soul that's not been born again from above. The soul has not been led of the Spirit. All of you who are Christians have a part of your soul that's come into the image of Christ, and part is still waiting to actually repent and come into that image. And so he tells us in verse 26, For what shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life? Again, the word soul. However, if you look at this exact same verse in Luke 9 and 25, it replaces the word life or psuche or soul for self. And it says, For what shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world and forfeit his self? For what shall a man give in exchange? So self and soul here, self speaks of the unregenerate soul. the soul that's not come into the image of the spirit, but is still in the image of the flesh. There's two men vying to take over the soul, the spirit man and the carnal man. And we all pray and we give ear to the spirit so that he is able to conquer and take the land of the soul. When we speak about conquering the promised land, in one parable, it's representing the soul. Soul that has to come into the image of Jesus Christ. It has to be ruled by the mind of the spirit and not the mind of the flesh. And of course, we don't start out that way. We start out just like they did when they went into the promised land. It was first ruled by the carnal man, first ruled by the fleshly Canaanites, Hittites, so on and so forth. And they had to be conquered in order that the spirit man, the Israelite, would rule and reign. The mind of the spirit rather than the mind of the flesh, which is death. And, taking up our cross to follow Jesus in order to put the old self life to death, or the unregenerate soul to death, so that the spirit man can rule totally and entirety our soul. And your mind, your will, and emotions, or your soul has come in to the image of Jesus Christ. This is his plan. It's a process we call sanctification. And it's not a sudden thing either. It's, what is it? How can we identify the difference between the carnal man and the spiritual man? Well, we know them by their works, right? If you look in Galatians 5 and verse 16, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So you, he's speaking to you, your soul, and he is telling you to walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. And it goes on to say, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary the one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would." So if you're going to walk after the spirit, you can't do what the self-life wants. And you're not going to have life unless you walk after the spirit. And when he says lusteth here, it's a word that just means desire. But you'll notice the flesh lust, and so does the spirit lust. So this is not a negative term here. It just means desire. We can't do the things we desire. We have to do the things that the Spirit of God desires. We've been given this authority by Jesus Christ through the crucifixion on the cross of his flesh, and we were crucified with him. So we have this authority over the flesh because we've been already given victory over the flesh. And he said, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world," right? So, and we were in him. When Adam fell, we were in him. And when Christ was resurrected, we were in him. Just as we were in the loins of Adam spiritually as his seed, we were also in Christ spiritually as his seed. His seed is the Word of God. And as we repent and receive into our soul the Word of God, it becomes who we are. It becomes that regenerate man who's made up of your spirit and the part of your soul that's been born from above. And of course, the carnal man, carna means flesh, the carnal or fleshly man is made up of your flesh and the part of your soul that is not regenerate yet. So there's this war going on. And of course, as the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. Paul said, "I die daily." That was so that the spiritual man could take the place of the carnal man. And Jesus was coming in Paul, and he's coming in all of those who walk by faith in the cross. And verse 18 says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest." This is how you identify fleshly thoughts, following after the flesh, which are fornication, uncleanness. Now, this is not meant to be a complete list here at all. I mean, you'll find lists in other places, in 1 Corinthians 6 and Revelation, and you'll find lists of works of the flesh, okay? So, but if fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is basically a license to do what you want to do instead of take up your cross and follow Jesus, and idolatry, many things that are more important to God's people than following Him and submitting to His Word, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wrath. Oh, there's so much of this kind of stuff, you know, in the body of Christ. It causes havoc in the body of Christ. There's so many people that don't love, so many people that seek a position and selfish ambition in the body of Christ. Factions, which is basically what that means, by the way. It means separating followers through selfish ambition. Divisions, yeah, people are selfish and ambitious, and they cause divisions. Parties, which is the Greek word is heresies, you know, which means a self-willed, opinionated person who is dividing the body into sects for their own selfish reasons, you know. Envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of which notice he says, and such like, because it can be other things that are like these things. Things that are obviously known to be the fruits of the flesh, right? Of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And of course, he's speaking to God's people, and he's not speaking to the world. So he says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. You must repent. You must believe the gospel, that you are delivered of all of this, and repent, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof, or desires thereof, the desires of the flesh. They that are of Christ Jesus have already been crucified. And, you know, we were talking the other day about the parable of conquering the promised land. And I think there's some more we can see there. I'd like to go back and look at it in another verse, another set of verses, like Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. I'll start in verse 10. It says, "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee, great and goodly cities which thou buildest not." You know, a city, of course, is a congregation of people. And, I know that there is going to be such things as this, even in the letter, happening in the days ahead. God's going to give cities that we didn't build. He's going to have communities of God's people. Not everybody's going to be in such, but in the Spirit, congregations of God's people who have given over their house to the Spirit man is what's being really spoken about here in the Spirit, because God's people in these days are going to, as a body, conquer the old life and come into the image of Jesus Christ very quickly. And he said, you didn't build them, but he was going to give it to you. And I praise God for that, you know. And, you know, in John 3:6, it's he that's born after he that's born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. So, we have to be born, we have been born of flesh, but we have to be born of spirit. And, of course, the old man here is the first one to have these cities and to have these houses. We've been born of the flesh, but we must be born of spirit. And that's being born from above, literally, in John chapter 3. It speaks of that, too. So we're in this process of conquering this old house, this old neighborhood, you know, so on, so to speak. And verse 11 says, "And houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and cisterns hewn out, which thou hewest not." Okay, you know, basically, God doesn't start on us when we're born again. He starts on us when we're born, and even before we're born, he starts on us. He begins to prepare us with experiences and even knowledge. It's not bad knowledge, even some good knowledge. He puts good things in the house, even good things while the old man is in control. And the experiences that you go through, the troubles that you go through, everything before you come to know the Lord is a preparation. The ground is being broken up even and prepared to receive the seed. And so there's good things, you know, that we didn't put there, but God did. And he says, "Vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, and thou shalt eat and be full." And, of course, he's speaking about the fruit that grows from the land. The land being the natural life, the soul of man, the fruit that is to bear unto the spirit man. And, you know, I like to go jump down to chapter 7 here. And it says, "The Lord thy God shall bring thee into land whither thou goest to possess it, and shall cast out many nations." And the word there's actually is pluck off many nations before thee. The Hittite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Seven nations greater and mightier than thou. It's kind of like the seven churches, right? Who are to inherit the land, right? Praise God. "And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them up before thee, thou shalt smite them. Then shalt thou utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them." Well, that sounds to a lot of people like, boy, God sure has started a bloody religion here, you know. But really, it was all a type and a shadow. The things that happened unto them were for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come, and they are for types and shadows. And the shadow is, of course, that we're to show no mercy to the old man. The old man cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The carnal man cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, the word says. And so he must die. He must lose his life. That's what we're here for. We're here to lose our life so that we can gain our life. Many are ignoring this, you know, like it's not written there. Many can, you know, if they're respectful of men, they can just totally overlook much of what the Bible says. But this is a condition the Lord lays before us. Now, he's the one that's going to empower us to do this. It's not going to be by our works. It's going to be by his works. It's going to be by his grace working in us to willing to do of his good pleasure. But it's still something that must be done. And, of course, those that are willing to give up their life, they are the ones that are going to be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, not those that are not willing to give up their life. We do have a sacrifice down here as priests of the Lord. We sacrifice the flesh of beasts, meaning, of course, this flesh that we walk in here. And we're able to do that because the Lord Jesus already sacrificed his life and gave us that power. You know, many have been rebellious. We have examples of the Israelites being rebellious. Look in, we'll come right back here, but look in Psalm 106 and verse 34. He says, "They did not destroy the peoples as the Lord commanded them, but mingled themselves with the nations and learned their works." The Lord gave them the boundaries of the land, for instance, in Joshua chapter 1, but They never did do what they were told to do in conquering those peoples and in killing them and in taking their house. And we've learned that our house is, of course, this house that we're walking in right here, this house. They didn't ever take but a third of the land, and so the enemies were there. They stayed in the land. They were thorns in their sides, and they made war with them constantly. And you can see that it's God's plan that we take the land so that we don't constantly live in warfare within ourselves, but that we suffer the defeat of the old man so that we can, you know, go on with this life. The Bible says, for as much then as Christ suffered in the flesh, what did he suffer in the flesh? The crucifixion of it. Arm ye yourselves also with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so that you no longer should live the rest of your time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Now there it is. So that you don't have to live the rest of your life in this warfare and living after the flesh. And in verse 36 says, and ye serve their idols, they serve their idols, which became a snare unto them. So the gods of the carnal man, they ended up serving. They ended up mingling themselves with the nations, mixing with them, sharing seed and crossing between themselves and the nations, which even in the natural we're not permitted to do, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're only to marry in the Lord, right? But in the spiritual, I'm going to point you out some things about in the spirit, too. We can't be crossing inwardly between the flesh and the spirit man. We can't have a mixture there. The Lord doesn't want a mixture there. He doesn't want a lukewarm that he has to spew out of his mouth, right? And so they mixed with them. They served their idols because they didn't do what they were told, and that is destroy the peoples of the land. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto demons. And they're still doing it, folks. God's people are still doing it today, sacrificing their sons and daughters unto demonic spirits of mixture in the churches. And so many of God's children and their children don't ever read the Bible to really search it out to find out the truth. They just trust their leaders. And what a terrible mistake that is, because they just trusted their leaders. And so traditions of men are carried on down, and people never really come into the sanctification that they're here for. They never realize that Jesus himself commanded that we lose our life, even our religious life, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters. You know how we shed blood? When we don't tell people the truth, according to Ezekiel chapter 3. You don't tell people the truth, their blood is upon your hands and upon your head, right? And even with our children, if we don't learn the truth, how can we share it with them? Whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. Yep, another Jesus. Many are sacrificing their children unto a false Jesus that is really Antichrist. And the lamb was polluted with blood, right? The Bible says, the life of the flesh, or the soul of the flesh, is in the blood, right? And it was passed on to you from your parents. And, of course, now your spiritual parent, the Lord Jesus Christ, has given you his blood. But we don't want to mix the nature of Jesus with the nature of the world or the nature of our parents that we inherited. We don't want to mix these things. This is a pollution of the blood. Thus were they defiled with their works, and played the harlot in their doings. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, and he abhorred his inheritance. Because they were now a mixture. They were committing harlotry with the world. And he gave them into the hand of the nations. Now this is about to be fulfilled for the church. He is about to give the church into the hands of the nations, or the beast, as we call it. The nations, meaning, of course, all those who walk in the flesh, who make up a corporate body we call the beast, just as there is a corporate body we call the body of Christ. There's only two men in the earth, Jesus said, and that is Christ and Antichrist. And sad to say, there's much of Antichrist in the church. So he gave them into the hand of the nations, and they that hated them ruled over them. Well, we're about to see that. They're all expecting to fly away, but it's not going to happen. Instead, they're going to be given into the hand of an angry beast for crucifixion. And there'd be no other way for them to enter into the kingdom because they just won't listen. They're listening to these apostate leaders instead of the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples that he sent forth. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Amen. And many times did he deliver them, but they were rebellious in their counsel and were brought low in their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their distress, and when he heard their cry, and he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. Wouldn't you like to not have to go through that with all that stubbornness? Instead, just learn the ways of the Lord and draw near to him and ask him to draw you near to him, which is really the way that it's done, and receive God's grace. Let's go the easy route here, folks. I'm afraid that many just can't do it. They can't go the easy route. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7. All right, he said, don't have mercy on them. Utterly destroy them. That's the old man. You can't live a righteous life as long as he's sharing the throne of your heart, you know. He's got to die. That's what Jesus said. Can't have gain your life unless you lose it. In verse 3, it says, neither shalt thou make marriages with them, thy daughter. Thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. So there's not only is there no supposed to be no mixture in the flesh, according to, as I said, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you can marry only in the Lord, the Bible says. Of course, many people come to the Lord, and they come to the Lord, and their spouse does not, so he says, don't leave them because the unbelieving wife or husband is sanctified in the believing brother or sister, right? So God's got a plan. And it's, of course, it's trial and tribulation that way, but still, it's something that the Lord has given us to overcome, and he will bless us through this. So, but also, in the individual, we're not to mix the spirit and the carnal man. Spiritual man and the carnal man. You're not to receive the carnal man's seed, neither are you to sow the Lord's seed in the flesh. I mean, there's a lot of that out there. There are people out there that speak the Word of God, teach the Word of God across the pulpit, but they live in the flesh and they speak in the flesh, and their example is fleshly, and they're bringing destruction to the body of Christ. So there's supposed to be no crossing here between the spirit man and the carnal man. And what we want is a soul that's bearing the fruit of the spiritual man only. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's hundredfold fruit is when the spirit that he gave you, that regenerate spirit that he gave you, empowered by the Holy Spirit that he gives you, takes that promised land of the soul, and Jesus lives and rules there in your mind, your will, and your emotions. This is God's plan. But he doesn't want this mixture. For he will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and he will destroy thee quickly. Now, I'm afraid some people don't believe that that's true. They just don't believe God will do that. And that's sad, because they need to read their word. Jesus made a condition here. So you don't want a mixture, for the very reason that you don't want any fruit from that mixture. We want no fruit of a mixture between the flesh and the spirit. As we're told very plainly in Galatians chapter 6, let me read that to you. Verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth unto his own flesh, he that soweth unto his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. So we don't want a mixture, sowing to the flesh, sowing to the Spirit. It makes lukewarm people that are spewed out of the body of Christ. That's not what we want, right? We need to put the old man to death, not let him give any seed in our life. Nothing. The seed that the Lord Jesus has given unto us is still the same seed. It's the Word of God. So we want no fruit of them. We don't want to sow the flesh and bear bad fruit. Right? And now jump over to verse 12. Let me read a little bit there. And it shall come to pass, because you hearken to these ordinances and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God will keep with thee the covenant. Well, you thought he was going to do that anyway, didn't you? No, there's a condition there. Notice that. He will keep with thee the covenant and the loving kindness which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. And he will also bless the fruit of thy body. Amen. Now, I know that there's a double meaning here. You know, not only is he talking about physically the fruit of thy body, but also the fruit of thy body, you know, and the fruit of thy ground. You are the ground. You are the land, as we saw in our last study, very clearly from the scriptures. Thy grain and thy new wine, thine oil and the increase of thy cattle, and the young of thy flock, in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Well, he sware unto our spiritual forefathers to give us the same thing he gave them. And, boy, I tell you, you can't look across the expanse of the church today and see that they have what was given to our forefathers. But that's what he's going to do in these days. And it's going to take crucifixion. It's going to take, like he said, turning the church, as we call it, over to the beast for a crucifixion. It was the beast that crucified Jesus. It's the beast that crucified his flesh, right? And he tells us, take up our cross willingly and follow him to death. And he will give us some help if we don't do it. If we don't do it, he said, he will give us some help. He will turn us over to this beast. Thou shalt be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be male nor female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest will he put upon thee, but will lay them upon them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the peoples that the Lord thy God shall deliver unto thee. Thine eye shall not pity them, neither shalt thou serve their gods. For that will be a snare unto thee. And we discovered that their gods represent the demons that the Gentiles or the heathen serve, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians. So let's look at Joshua chapter 9. This is a little different parable. We've been talking about taking no prisoners. But let's see what happens here. Chapter 9 says, and it came to pass, when all the kings that were beyond the Jordan, in the hill country and in the lowland, and on all of the shore of the great sea in front of Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. Hey, you know what? That's going to happen in our day, folks. He's talking about gathering all the heathen in the promised land to make war against us. Okay? The flesh. You know, you're going to be greatly tried in the days ahead. The Lord is going to raise up the beast against us. It's going to be a trial. Some are going to deny their Lord and follow after their flesh. And some will refuse to deny him and lose their whole life. Praise be to God. And some physically will lose their life too. But either way, they'll enter the kingdom of God. So, we're talking about the beastly flesh rising up against God's people here. In verse 3 it says, "But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they also did work wilily," or sneaky, you know, "and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses and wineskins, old and rent and bound up, and old and patched shoes upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and was become moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We are come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a covenant with us." Why did they want them to believe that they had come from a far country? Well, they actually told them why in verse 24 of this chapter. I'll read that to you. "And they answered Joshua and said, Because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore, we were sore afraid for our lives because of you, and have done this thing." Done what thing? Well, deceived the people of God, deceived their leadership into thinking that they were from a far country. Why a far country? Well, because they were making out like they were not the inhabitants of the land, when in fact they were the Hivites that were in that land right next to them. Okay, so they deceived them. You know, the flesh is deceptive. The old man is deceptive. He will deceive you into thinking he is not your enemy. He will deceive you into thinking that he is not the flesh. He will seduce you into following him. It's very easy because we've all been born with the lusts of the flesh. We have a natural desire in us to please the flesh. And those of people, of course, who are willing to give that up in order to serve God and desire earnestly only that the spiritual man would live in them are the people who will take up their cross and lose their life, no matter how seducing it is. So, the old man in your life is a liar. He's a deceiver. He is a seducer. He is your enemy, even though he would like to appear not to be your enemy. Okay? And verse 7 says, "And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Peradventure ye dwell among us, how shall we make a covenant with you? And they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard of the fame of him, and all that he did." So they're flatterers too. The old flesh is a flatterer. He wants to tell you how great you are and how great God is. And he's very religious, you know. Some people don't know that. But he's deceptive. "For we have heard of the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who was at Eshtaroth. And our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake unto us, saying, Take provision in your hand for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants, and now make a covenant with us." As we just read, they were forbidden to make covenants with the people of the land. But the people of the land have deceived them into thinking that they are from another land. Okay? This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day that we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry, it has become moldy, and these wineskins which we filled were new, and behold, they are rent, and these are our garments, and our shoes have become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their provision and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. So they listened to these men, they listened to the flesh, listened to the carnal men, but they didn't listen to the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. So here's the covenant, is to let the flesh live. The flesh wants to live. It wants to deceive you in order to live. And the princes and the counselors swear unto them. So, a deception here, and in order to let the flesh live. All of the deception in the church in these days, folks, all of the false doctrine is for one purpose, to let the flesh live. And I'll just read a little portion of Isaiah 28:15 on down. It says, because you have said, we've made a covenant with death, and with Sheol are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge. How many of you know that many people do not believe they're going into tribulation? They're going to fly away because they've made lies their refuge. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Nothing bad is going to ever happen to these people. You know, with their prosperity doctrine, nothing bad, no crucifixion, no death to self. They're making a covenant with death here. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, of sure foundation. He that believeth shall not be in haste. The only sure foundation we have is the Word of God. You know, a covenant with death is a covenant with the flesh, to let it live. Why? Because Jesus said, unless we lose that flesh, we won't live. So therefore, a covenant that permits the flesh to live, an agreement through doctrine or any other way, it speaks especially here of deception, falsehoods, hiding themselves under falsehoods, that permits the flesh to live, causes you to die. Joshua 9:14-15, we just read it. If the flesh lives, we die. Jesus said in Matthew 16:25, the flesh lives, we die. A covenant of lies to let the flesh live is like unconditional eternal security or ultimate reconciliation of all, or this greasy grace or lasciviousness. People are hiding themselves under this, thinking, oh, the Lord only sees me through the blood of Jesus while I walk in willful disobedience. But he tells you, no, if you walk in willful disobedience, you're going to be destroyed. We sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth. There remains no sacrifice for sin, but a certain, fearful expectation of judgment which shall devour the adversaries. So, a covenant with death is to change the covenant that the Lord gave you into agreement with the flesh. It says, with Sheol, or death, are we at agreement. And verse 17, and I will make justice the line, and righteousness the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. Were they hiding themselves? Under falsehood. They thought this, because I believe this, this is the way it's going to be. But if it's not according to the word, you've deceived yourself. Or self has deceived you. And so, he's telling you that God meets this kind of delusional, self-delusional attitude with judgment, justice. The plummet. You know, he drops the plumb line. And your covenant with death shall be annulled. and your agreement with Sheol shall not stand when the overflowing scourge shall pass through. Then you shall be trodden down by it. So the Lord is going to bring judgment against those who are deceiving themselves with their covenants with these false doctrines, and he's going to bring judgment upon them. And so let's go back to where we were in Joshua chapter 9 one more time. I want to read a little bit more. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after that they had made a covenant with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Chephizbah and Beeroth and Kiriath-Jearim, and the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord, the God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord, the God of Israel. Now therefore, we may not touch them. This will we do to them, and let them live. Now what could they do to let them live? And God said, don't let them live. What could they do to let them live? He said, this will we do, and let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swear unto them. So they're going to do something so that they... the Lord's wrath will be appeased, so that the Lord's wrath will not be upon them. What could they do so that the Lord would not bring forth wrath upon them, which he promised to do if they didn't put the old man to death? And verse 21, and the princes said unto them, let them live. So they became hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had spoken unto them. So, they made them servants of Israel. Well, that's interesting. Now, how would this allay God's wrath? They made them servants of Israel. Actually called them bondmen in verse 23. Bondmen. Well, the Apostle Paul has a good answer for this, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read you 25 on down. And every man that striveth in the games exercises self-control in all things. What is self-control? It's when your spirit man controls the self man. That is the unregenerate soul, the carnal soul, the carnal man in the soul, right? Now, they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run as not uncertainly, so fight I as not beating the air. Who's he fighting with? Well, he's fighting with the old man, right? And he said, I buffet my body, and I bring it into bondage. There it is again, bondage. He, like the Gibeonites, he has brought them into bondage. Lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself would be rejected. So if he didn't bring his body into bondage to the spiritual man, he would be rejected by the Lord. In other words, the wrath of God would be upon him. So think about it this way. Okay? If the flesh serves the spirit, the mind or desires of the flesh is being crucified. That's right. When its mind, when the flesh's mind is independent and rebellious, it's in control. But when it's being crucified, it's when you don't permit it to be in control or to rule you. Okay? Isn't this pretty much the same thing? Paul said, I die daily. But he also said he buffeted his body and brought it into bondage, into subjection, right? So basically that's the same thing. If the flesh doesn't rule the promised land, then it's dead. This is just two parables that represent the same thing here. So there won't be any wrath against the person if they bring the flesh into servitude. If they make the flesh serve the spiritual man. And I'm going to read on in verse 22 of Joshua chapter 9. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, Wherefore have you beguiled us, saying, We are very far from you when you dwell among us? Now therefore you are cursed, and there shall never fail to be of you bondmen, both hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. Never fail. Wow, that's a long time. And they answered Joshua and said, Because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore, we were sore afraid for our lives because of you and have done this thing. And now, behold, we are in thy hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us, do. And so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And the Lord made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord unto this day, in the place which he should choose. Now I have no doubt that there are other parables involved here. I'm just looking at one parable. I'm one who believes that many parables can be hidden in the same text. So I'm just pointing out to you the one that I want to emphasize here. You know, the old man was meant, well, let me say, in the beginning, the natural man was meant to serve the spiritual man. But when sin entered in, it was no longer the natural man, it was the carnal man, it was the fleshly man. And still, we are ordained and ordered of the Lord that our spiritual man rule in this body. And because God has given us primarily a born-again spirit and expected our soul to follow suit, then we are held guilty if we walk after the flesh. Paul said, if you walk after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. So we must decide what is a fleshly work and what is a spiritual work. What is coming from the carnal man and what is coming from the spiritual man? I dare say a lot of people can discern that because they're familiar with the Scriptures. The Scriptures, of course, give you familiarity with what is spiritual and what is carnal. I know that the overwhelming majority of God's people don't spend enough time with the Word to become real familiar with what is carnal and what is spiritual. And this is a necessity. I mean, the sword of the Spirit that they went in there and conquered the old man with was the Word of God. It is our weapon. And we're commanded to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take the sword of the Spirit, which when we put the Word of God in the hand of our spirit man, he is able to conquer the carnal man. It is so necessary. There's no other way for us to enter the kingdom. This is how we bear fruit in the land of our soul, 30, 60, and 100-fold. That is, that your soul becomes spiritual, that your spirit man is made up of your spirit and the part of your soul that's regenerate. That just lets you know that everybody doesn't have the same reward because everybody is not complete. You know, a complete man is one whose soul has been given over to the spirit. He is no longer following the flesh. He's no longer walking after the flesh. He's walking after the spirit. Jesus paid our debt so that this could come to pass. He conquered our old man so that this would come to pass. Well, we probably will continue on with this next time by the grace of God, and thank you so much and for being with us today. The Lord bless you.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-16-16, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, purest water make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Jesus, my Lord Jesus.